Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, this morning we have members of the fellowship in who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the meeting off, we thought we'd read something out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the text of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the reading goes like this. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems. Today, when I'm disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing or situation or some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at that moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. So that's to start the meeting off. That's an extract out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, out of the story Dr. Alcoholic Addict. As I said, we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the first sharer this morning is Shona. Would you like to share?
Thanks, Steve. Hi, I'm Shona and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Shona.
Thanks, guys. And really grateful to be here this morning. And my sobriety date is the 10th of July, 1996. And I chose that reading this morning because it played a really integral part of my early days of recovery. And how was it? It was one of great fun and lots of drinking, and I adored it. I loved to drink. I loved the taste of it, and I loved the feel of it. And I come from a family of alcoholism, and it was just such an acceptable part of my life. I picked up a drink probably at about 13, and really I probably did blackout from then on, but I had no idea it was called a blackout. I just thought, how come I can't remember a night out? And I suppose from there, what alcohol did it was slowly strip me of, you know, still had a lot of good things in life and always still tried to be that really good girl, but the alcohol totally put me in a place of lots of shame, guilt and remorse, lots of parting heart, didn't grow up, never grew up. That was a really big part of it. I always had people surrounding me who could look after me. And it was either family or girlfriends or partners. I got married early at 20, and I chose a man who was 10 years older than me, and so he could look after me pretty much and pay the bills and things like that. So I never sort of ever had that opportunity to grow within. And I think that's the really sad part of it, is that inability to be responsible. So I suppose for me, you know, when I really think about that in those really early days, I had everything I needed, really everything I wanted more than needed, except I didn't have me. I didn't know what was ever wrong with me or anything like that, and I always felt incredibly lonely, even in a room full of people, and I never could hold my friendships down, and I'd leave. I'd always be leaving because I thought if people found out who I really was, they wouldn't want to know me. And the interesting thing that I know today is people leave and people come and people leave. You know, it's all of those ebbs and flows of life, you know. It's like you get a job and then, you know, you won't have a job. You change careers in your life. You know, partners come and go. There's lots of things like that. And I always thought I had to stay the same the whole time. So I left that first husband and picked up the same one. And that was always my pattern, always swapping partners because they couldn't make me happy. Just getting new friends because the old ones couldn't make me happy. Drinking way too much, which led to even some drug taking. But I knew alcohol was always my primary because I was too scared to go down the drug path because I felt so out of control. But, you know, even the crazy thing about that is that alcohol made me so out of control. Blackouts, falling over, having to be picked up and carried, slurring, very angry when I drank. Used to blame everyone for everything and never take responsibility for myself. So when I picked up number two man to pay the bills because I still couldn't, the drinking got... The world got smaller, the drinking got more that it was at home, not out, and I suffered, you know, those infidelities happened through drinking, was the car in the garage, how did I get those grazes on my knees, who do I need to ring the next day to make sure that everything's okay, if people are talking to me or not. And, you know, my inappropriate behaviour lost a lot of friends as well, and that's a pretty sad thing. But I couldn't control any of that, and I didn't know that I suffered this disease called alcoholism. So I had a partner at home who was calling me a drunk, and I was crying always and trying to manipulate my way out of it and saying, I won't drink again. But the sad thing is that I always had another drink. I had a really good friend who actually arrived into Alcoholics Anonymous 6 months before me, and she sat there not drinking, and I'd be sitting there with my gin and tonic, proving that I didn't have a drinking problem. She never said anything, though. She never said anything about my drinking or anything like that. And then one weekend I had that big one, the big blackout, the partner not talking to me. I knew if I didn't do something about this that he'd leave me and then who would look after me. And I felt really like I had this huge hole in my soul, really big hole in my soul. And I was an incredibly lonely person, because I still didn't know who I was, and I didn't know how to grow up, and I didn't know how to take care of myself, and I played such this big victim role. And that Sunday I rang her after the big night out of falling over, kissing someone, you know, all that same old behaviour. And I said, you know, I really need some help, and I think I need to come to this Alcoholics Anonymous with you. And she just said, yep, not a problem. I'll pick you up on Wednesday. I'll go to a meeting on a Wednesday night. And I'll give you a call, actually, she said, and see if you still want to come. And I knew between that Sunday night and that Wednesday night that my life was going to change forever. And I didn't know how it was or anything like that. And she rang on the Wednesday, and sure enough, I said, yep, I'll come. And I went to that meeting, and there was a woman there celebrating 15 years of recovery. And there was another woman there who was in the chair that night, and she had 15 years of recovery too. And this room was really bright and light, and people were laughing. And I hadn't really laughed a long time, unless it was that really vindictive kind of laughter and not being kind to people. And, you know, since that meeting, I haven't picked up a drink one day at a time. And it was suggested to me to get a sponsor, and I asked that woman who was at the chair for that meeting that night, and she had said to me, welcome, dear, and just listen to the similarities and not the differences. I didn't know anything about it, but I just had that feeling that this was where I belonged. This was like my tribe of people. And I said, sort of, what do I do next? And they said, just, you know, keep coming, go to another meeting. And I did that, and got that sponsor, and then they said, suggested that I buy the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I bought the paperback. I didn't want to buy the hardcover people would might know that I'm an alcoholic. So I had a lot of stigma around being an alcoholic when I first came in. I didn't want to be an alcoholic. Today, it's not a problem. I'm grateful that that's actually what I am, is just an alcoholic, and that's actually what causes all my problems today, is just my alcoholism. And I started to read that big book, and I didn't get it, and I didn't get the old language, and I couldn't be bothered with it and things like that. And then I heard in a meeting, and this is the profoundness, is there was another woman in this fellowship who's still sober today, and she read that passage out in the meeting. I must have been about probably 3 months sober, and I was still blaming the world for everything, and I was really quite depressed and quite black because I wasn't doing the program really. I was just going to meetings. And she read that, and it just, the penny dropped. You know, it was like one of those really big epiphanies. And I pulled out my book and I read that story, and I love him, Dr. Paul. I love the way he writes. I understand it. And from that, there became this love that I have today of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The first 164 pages, you know, all the answers are there about us. I still read it today. You know, when something's disturbing me, I either read, you know, that paragraph, or I go into action or how it works or things like that, and I always find the answer, and it's usually because I'm stepping on the toes of others. That's what's usually going on, or I'm not getting what I want, or I'm going to lose something that I have. And it's such a driving force within me, that so today, well, you know, I'm 21 years sober and I still go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm still very much a big part of the fellowship because I have to give away what I've got. I'm very passionate about this program. It doesn't mean that it's easy sailing, whether I'm in the program or not. And I'm still a very impatient and tolerant person, but today I have a lot more calmness in my life. I started off with a higher power when I came in here. I've realised that I'm a control freak, so I've had to really trust this higher power, which is today a big loving God. I have this massive loving God in my life, and I've had strong sponsorship. I've still got the same sponsor. I did 10 years of recovery in Sydney, which I just adored as well, and I had a fantastic sponsor there. I've always chosen a sponsor because I want what they've got. She's fantastic. She's 93. She's still full of wisdom. She still tells me when I'm not travelling right, and I think that's quite a great idea, and I hear her today. You know, I hear her today. I used to not hear her in the early days. I didn't want a bar of it. What are you saying? I have to change? No, I don't want to change. And great pain has had to be the changing pivotal part of my recovery. But I hear that with the people I sponsor today. I love seeing women grow in this fellowship. You know, I have great male friends in this fellowship, but my primary purpose is to help that female get that recovery and shine. I love seeing anyone grow and shine within recovery. I suppose the important thing too is that service. You know, right at the beginning of my recovery, it was like I didn't really sponsor a woman. I did a lot of service, and I still try and do service today. And I have a new home group, Ellerslie Speaker Meeting, on a Thursday night. And, you know, we sort of bought a format from overseas to have a 30-minute speaker. And that way we get to hear people's full journey, which I think is really important sometimes, and it sits with me that I can sit in that meeting and just relax for 30 minutes and hear someone else's story, which is always quite similar to mine. Even though I suppose for me in recovery and other fellow alcoholics, we have different lives, but we sort of always share that same journey, you know, and it's like for like. As well as that, the one thing I suppose what's happened in my recovery is too that when I put down the alcohol, you know, the madness really did creep in, and that's why I'm still here many moons later, is because I need somewhere to go to relax and to hear the message of who I am, which is an alcoholic, and how can I change me, which is really do service, help another alcoholic achieve sobriety, try and be a really loving, kind person. My sponsor always talks about being kind, and from being kind, everything else follows. And that's been a really big one for me, and quite a hard one to do because I'm selfish and self-centered. I have a great opinion. My opinion matters more than anyone else's opinion. And I've had to really let other people be who they need to be. And that's the hardest part of recovery, is allowing people to be who they are and accepting them and loving them no matter what. And I suppose I have a sponsor too who's always talked about shades of grey. She said the world is full of shades of grey, Shona. It's never black and white. And I was an incredibly narrow-minded black and white thinker when I came in here. And today, you know, I have a lot of shades of grey in my life and allow people to be who they need to be. I'm forever indebted to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, for my one day at a time of recovery, and I'm very grateful for it. And I've done more crazy things in recovery than I ever did when I drank. And all I need to do is just not pick up that first drink. And hopefully, one day at a time, I will keep growing and changing, because I have a family that's full of alcoholism and none of them change and grow. And that's a really sad, sad thing to watch. My mum, she drinks, and, you know, I come here too to have that empathy. It's empathy, I suppose, for me. It's not sympathy, but it's empathy. It's a disease. They can't help it. I always thought people could just stop drinking. I thought I could just stop drinking, and I couldn't. I needed a program that could help me stop drinking one day at a time. So I'm very grateful to be here today, and thank you, Steve, for asking me. And over to you, Shane.
Great. Thanks, Shona. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And we have members of the fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. Now, to continue on with the meeting, I thought we would read something a little bit more out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the chapter How It Works, and we call it Chapter 5, and it outlines the program of recovery within Alcoholics Anonymous. And it goes as like this: How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing, and we stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress, and we claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic and the chapter to the agnostic and our personal adventures before and after make clear 3 pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he was sought. That's a reading out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous outlining the 12-step recovery program of the fellowship. As I mentioned, we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism here on Planet FM on 104.6 Planet FM. To continue on with the sharing, Shane, do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. My name's Shane, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
I'm really grateful to be here. I don't know where everyone else is in the world right now or in New Zealand, but, hopefully I'm going to... I'm just going to say a little bit about my journey thus far. I started drinking when I was 14 years old. I still remember that really that first drink and how it ended up. I think throwing up and collapsing and blacking out and then sort of coming to and explaining to I think it was my mate's parents as to you know what had happened, where we got the alcohol from. Sort of making assurances that this sort of situation wasn't going to happen again. It happened again and again and again and again in just different situations, different places of the world. And it just got worse and worse. I drank for 30 years. It seems like an awfully long period of time and it did feel like that when I got to the end of that 30 years of drinking, you know, I'd physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you know, I was bankrupt. I didn't have anything left in the tank. I could have kept going, I guess. There was, you know, I still was kind of, you know, I was working for myself. I still kind of was working. But the majority of my time from 9 o'clock in the morning till when I collapsed at night was spent drinking. And it's pretty hard to fit anything else into your life when you've got a lifestyle choice like that. So friends and family, you know, that they all just went by the wayside. I just thought about it recently, you know, for someone to come around to my house and knock on the door, you know, that would be sort of a once in 2 or 3 week occurrence. Because, you know, every time they tried to get a hold of me, you know, I'd say everything's okay and let's catch up soon and you know, it's good to hear from you. And, you know, I couldn't set times or day. You know, someone said to me, "I'm going to catch up with you, you know, Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon." I'd tell them, "Yeah, that's fine. There's absolutely no problem. You know, that's a week and a half an hour, a week and a half from now. Of course, I'm going to be able to make that." But as soon as I hung up the phone, I was already planning in my head how I wasn't going to be. What was the excuse I was going to tell them? Because there was no chance at 2 o'clock in the afternoon that I would feel safe driving wherever or catching the train or doing whatever, because I was drunk. I was really drunk by 2 o'clock. That was probably I was past the midpoint, and from there on afterwards it was all downhill. And that really was, I think, probably the last 10 years of my drinking was very... I remember an occasion where I went to... It was a mate's wedding, and that was the tipping point for me. That was the turning point. I remember that really distinctly, and saying to my partner at the time, actually, you know, I don't feel very well. I want to go home. And, you know, with all the sympathy in the world from her and the other people at the wedding, I left, and I didn't feel sick at all. I didn't want to be around anybody. I didn't want anybody to see how I wanted to drink. I just wanted to be sitting in a room by myself and obliterating myself. You know, those other people that were there wouldn't have liked that side of Shane, I don't think. I got to a point where I knew I was an alcoholic. People were calling me an alcoholic, but I didn't know how. I didn't know if there was any solution. I didn't know any solution to stop drinking. I tried by myself. I did have in those 30 years. I had one stint of 4 months where I stopped through medically taking some medication to help me. And I remember getting to the end of that 4 months, things were going really well. I'd got a new girlfriend back into my life. I think I'd just, you know, I got some new work had come in. And I don't remember what happened on that day, but I remember saying to my girlfriend, my new girlfriend, saying to her, look, you know, I think I should just, that's pretty good news. Let's have a, we have a drink. And she kind of looked at me like, you know, a dog looks at you. They twist their head and sort of, is this a good idea? And I made the assurance to her that, yeah, no problem. And that night I, over a really, really long period of time, for me, I must have had 6 or 7 drinks. And that was the first time that she'd ever seen me with a drink in my hand, and I guess it kind of settled her, and she thought to herself, "This is okay, you know. He's cured, or he's turned a corner." And unbeknownst to her, and probably at that stage unbeknownst to me, the 6 turned into 12 or 15 the next night. The 15 turned into 24 the next night, and on the fourth night she was gone. Because that was, you know, she was in the middle of my drinking. So, I'm eternally grateful to, you know, I've only had 3.5 years of sobriety thus far, but it's been an amazing journey, and I've enjoyed it. I really have. And you know, if you get the opportunity to, if your life's hit that low, and you feel like there's a, you know, you want to turn that around, I'd really strongly recommend, you know, turning up to a meeting, or if you can't make it to a meeting, listening to some people online. So, really grateful to be here, and thanks.
Great. Thanks, Shane. This brings us towards the end of our meeting. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. If you've identified with the speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings list is a list of all meetings within the Greater Auckland area. We have about 140-odd meetings a week in the Greater Auckland area. The drop-down box will also give you a list of meetings right throughout the whole country as well. Or you can phone 0800 Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area that you can talk to. We'll be back here again next Sunday on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back.